Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and funny enough, today's podcast interviewee is also named Erica. I had interviewed Erica Portillo about a couple months ago, and she's basically a licensed clinical social worker, and she's been providing counseling for the past 10 years to children, teens, and adults. And we had such a great episode where we had people send in their questions that I knew I had to have her on again. And actually, when we recorded her first episode, she was pregnant. And since then, she's had her little baby boy, Sebastian. And when we recorded the second episode, I was pregnant. And as you guys probably know now, I have had my baby girl since then, so it's kind of funny how life works out like that. She currently is an online therapist with the company's BetterHelp, and she specializes in anxiety, depression, relationships, career exploration, and self-esteem. And we talk about so many things in this episode, especially how to deal with family during the holidays when they're probably driving you the most crazy. So let's jump into today's episode, and if you want to chat with Erica for any reason whatsoever, I will leave her information in the podcast notes. Let's jump in, guys. Hi, everyone. And before we jump into today's podcast episode, I just want to give a big shout out to Pink Tomato Skincare. So let me preface this with I'm actually recording this ad while I'm breastfeeding. So you might hear little Elizabeth in the background. But yeah, so let's talk about Pink Tomato Skincare. And the reason I want to bring them up is because I stumbled upon them at a health and wellness event, and upon like looking further into the company, I found out that they are actually all organic, they don't test on animals, they are vegan, they use natural aromas, and they also use eco packaging, which I feel like is very hard to find. So I was able to connect with the owner, Gina, who is a badass mama. She runs this business and raises her little boy, and he is just absolutely adorable. Definitely head over to her Instagram at Pink Tomato Skincare. I use a lot of her products. I would say that my favorite product of hers, and you probably see me wearing this a lot on Instagram, is her face mask. She has this pink face mask that is basically a rejuvenating cold facial, and you can put it in the freezer or in the fridge, whichever you prefer. I always put it in the freezer, and then you wear it for about like 15 minutes after you apply your favorite face cream, and it really tightens up your skin. It soothes your skin. It reduces the appearance of wrinkles, or reduces the size of pores, which is really ideal for basically all types of skin types. Furthermore, it actually fights acne, and it acts as acupuncture meridian that promotes circulation, helping, you know, rejuvenate the skin. So there's a lot of benefits to that one. And then my second favorite product is actually, you can use it for babies as well, but I use this prior to having Lizzie. It's called a konjac sponge, and Gina actually creates a couple different varieties, but for the most part, all three varieties are 100% natural. They're made without preservatives, they're made without artificial coloring, without chemical additives, no artificial chemicals. It's 100% biodegradable, and basically the purpose of the konjac sponge is that it starts out dry and it becomes hard. And then when you soak the sponge in water, you squeeze it and use it all over your body and face with circular motions. and it gently balances the pH of your skin. And you know that it's the real deal when it was actually created for babies, but because of the amazing qualities of it, adults started using it and seeing their positive effects. So I encourage you all to head over to www.pinktomatoskincare.com and try out Gina's product. She's also on Instagram and Facebook, and again, you can just find her at Pink Tomato Skincare. And for a sweet discount, you can use BYOK18, and make sure the BYOK is capitalized. And Gina will hook you up with, just a sweet discount for being a listener of the BYOK podcast. So head over there and check her out. Hi, Erica, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast again.
Hi, thank you so much for having me back.
Of course. I'm so excited to chat with you today. We have so much to talk about. But why don't you just give everybody a brief background about yourself if they didn't hear the first episode?
Oh, sure. So I am a licensed clinical social worker, and I've been providing counseling for about 10 years. I've worked in a variety of settings. I've worked in schools. I've been a case manager, and now currently I provide online counseling, and I'm really enjoying that. I'm working a lot with women in their 20s and 30s, and my expertise is in anxiety, depression, relationships, and self-esteem. So that's my background.
Wow, I didn't realize that you primarily focused on women in their 20s and 30s, which is actually perfect for our niche and our conversation tonight.
Yes. I do have some clients who are out of that age range, or of course I do work with men as well, but it just has really worked out that that has become my niche, and, you know, probably because I can relate so well. So I really, enjoy that target, that age, and the issues come up.
For everyone at home who may not be familiar, can you just explain your practice a little bit? Since you do, I always want to say like telecommunicating, but you do like a virtual counseling. So can you just explain that to everybody?
Yes. So online counseling is fairly new. I work for a company called BetterHelp, and there's a couple out there. There's talk therapy, and there's various apps you can look up, but basically it's a really convenient and accessible way for people to receive counseling, and my clients can choose either to talk to me by phone, video, or email, or all three. So it's a really nice way to connect and just make it really convenient for everybody. So at first I wasn't sure how it would go, because I was used to working with people face to face, but it's amazing. And, you know, I feel like I'm still getting great results and still build rapport. So I definitely recommend it if you are thinking about maybe getting a therapist, but, you know, perhaps the cost or just the inconvenience of going to an office has been inhibiting you. I would say definitely look into it.
I love the accessibility. And even to add on to that, just, I think, getting the courage to go to a therapist or a counselor, if from my aspect, probably not from yours because you are one, but it may seem like daunting or a little bit scary. So this really kind of helps people, you know, get the help they need without having to go too far out of their comfort zone, or at least, you know, skipping that first step of actually physically going there.
Right. It was such a good point. And especially people with anxiety, you know, they really have a hard time taking that step and going to an office to talk with someone. And then especially, too, just with everybody's schedule these days, you know, we're so busy that it's hard to fit in another meeting or another appointment. So, I'm really happy that this is where therapy has gone in this direction. And I really think that we're
going to
see more of it.
I love that. So kind of jumping in here, since you mentioned that self-care is one of your specialties, what are your morning and nighttime routines, and how do you incorporate self-care into them?
So, yeah, I'm a big believer that starting off your day with a morning routine is so essential because, like most of us, you know, and I do it too, right when we wake up, we grab our cell phones, we're scrolling through emails and social media, and it just starts a really hectic pace to your day. And I think that really causes people to get in the habit of just rushing through your day and not being mindful and also not really taking the time to check in with yourself to see, you know, how you're feeling. So instead you get caught in that cycle of just kind of pushing through the day, pushing through your feelings, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, 10 o'clock at night and time to go to bed and then do it all over again. So I've practiced a morning routine that starts off with, well, let me preface this with, pre-baby, I was a little more disciplined with it. I like to start out with meditation. And my favorite app is Insight Timer, but there's so many great ones out there. Headspace is another great one. So I love Insight Timer, though, because you can choose the amount of time that you have. Maybe you only have 10 minutes. So I like to listen to a meditation just to get me into a positive mindset. And then I love to work out in the morning. So I used to be able to go to the gym. Now, since I'm a stay-at-home mom, I just do a workout video. So I'm just doing what I can, but it's working out great too. So I can still get a little physical exercise. And yeah, that's pretty much how I start my day. Now, I just started incorporating some journaling. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about their morning routines and share that they like to do they call it like a brain dump and write just whatever is on their mind and get it out. And I've really found that helpful. You know, we have so many thoughts swirling in our heads that just putting them on paper it's really freeing. And for me, I love writing. It's very therapeutic. And, you know, obviously that's why I blog, because I really enjoy writing. But journaling has been, I think, really, really helpful for self-care. So that's my morning routine.
I love that you integrate journaling, because it's kind of like one of those things, like once you get it off your mind, like once you put down in paper, you can almost like get it off your mind, you know? Absolutely. If something's bothering you or whatever.
Right. It's like, it's your way of venting. And also, too, I find that when I'm writing it down, I find connections and patterns. And I just have a lot more clarity. Like, I'll have some insights on things that I don't necessarily have when I'm just, you know, analyzing it over in my brain. So for me, I'm just a very visual person, and writing works really well for me. So that's been a really nice addition to my morning routine.
I love that. Now, how does your morning routine differ from your nighttime routine?
So at night, to kind of unwind after the day, like I said, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I've been adjusting. He's 4 months, almost five. And so it's been a complete lifestyle change. So in the evening, I really need to take time for myself as much as I can. So usually I take a shower. I like to listen to another meditation or just some like relaxing music. And you do have to be, like I said, very flexible. So if I'm nursing him, I'll pop in my headphones and listen to, you know, meditation that way.
Oh, that's such a great idea.
Oh, yes. You will soon learn that you want to multitask when you're, you know, because they want to sleep on you all the time.
Right.
So I was wasting a lot of time and energy just scrolling on my phone on social media. And I realized, I'm like, I could use this time way more productively while he's sleeping on me or nursing. So I either have a book by my bed or I'm, you know, listening to a podcast or a meditation on my headphones.
That's anyways, a great that's idea. I love note. It.
And then finally, once he goes to bed, I work on a passion project. So for me, I decided to start writing a book about my experiences. And so that's kind of how I end my evening with writing. And then, of course, if I want to just totally veg out and, you know, watch some TV, and reality TV is my guilty pleasure, that's just kind of a nice way to really unwind and relax at the end of the night.
Totally. I love that. So what about, so getting a little bit more specific, when you have a newborn, I know, like, you're, especially your first child, you're, well, I don't know, but I will know soon, that your life just completely changes, and for the better, but it's just different. So what are some, you know, self-care tips you would give to a new mom?
Yes, self-care is so important, because all of your, you know, time and your energy and your body, everything is, you know, given to the baby, rightfully so. But it also can be so exhausting and draining, you know, especially when you come home and, you know, your hormones are still very much fluctuating. And, you know, for me, I had to have an emergency C-section, so it took a lot of time to heal. So self-care is essential. So every new mom, you know, really needs to make themselves a priority, even though it is difficult. So I would just say, as much as you can get support. For me, like, when my husband comes home from work, we have a schedule to where he takes the baby right away, so then I can have an hour to just unwind, and, you know, spend that time however I need to in that moment. Usually just, you know, relaxing. But I was actually talking to another friend of mine who, she is a new mom as well, and we were saying that, you know, you start to appreciate the little things. Like, before, it was like, oh, I'll get my nails done weekly, but now that's a really, you know, it's a special time now to do that. So you just, you're much more, I think, appreciative of the time that you can spend, you know, for yourself. So the whole idea of self-care, I'm glad we brought this up, because, you know, we see so much online about, you know, treat yourself and get a manicure, and, you know, is that really self-care? And I think it can be. You know, I kind of look at self-care as like a pyramid, and at the very top is, you know, things like daily practices that really are going to, I just look at it more like nourish your soul, like things like yoga and meditation and writing. So I look at that as kind of the top of the pyramid for self-care. But some days you might just need to, you know, get your nails done, and that really helps you relax and feel good. So I do believe that it's all good, and it's all self-care. And just check in with yourself as a new mom, because you're so focused on the baby that I think it's important to check in with yourself and say, how am I feeling and what do I really need today? And hopefully, you know, you have the support to where you're able to try to fit that in. But again, you have to be flexible. So it might be just squeezing in some time when the baby's napping. So you definitely learn to just operate in a different way.
Totally. I love that advice. I think it's really critical for new moms to, you know, hear that they do need to fit in self-care, and they do need to take care of themselves, and that's okay. Like, it's okay to take care of yourself too.
Right, right. And I think we talked about this in our last, you know, interview, was that guilt that moms feel. But really, I mean, if you are pouring from, you know, a half empty cup, what do you really have to give? And I also just read a good quote too about, you know, if you're unhappy, you're not in a place to give to others. And so I think for new moms especially, to be your best and to really be mindful and be present for your baby, you want to be your best self, and And so yeah, I think sometimes taking a little time for your self-care is really crucial.
Absolutely. Now, kind of shifting gears just a little bit, the holidays are coming up, and I want to talk about boundaries with family. How, and I feel like, without like being like super specific on any like one person in the family or any one situation, how do you go about setting boundaries for family members without, you know, hurting feelings, especially during the holidays when like, you know, everybody's just kind of on a high and so happy, but it's also like super overwhelming.
Right. I know. It's hard because you're right. The holidays bring people together and it's supposed to be a time of, you know, quote unquote, supposed to be a time of right happiness and joy, but it can also be really stressful. So I think you can alleviate some of that stress by thinking about your boundaries beforehand and how you want to approach situations. So yeah, great topic, especially, you know, in regards to the holidays. So you want to think about how you're feeling about the holidays and seeing certain people. And if you're starting to feel maybe anxious or you're feeling, you know, worried or irritable, you know, you want to pay attention to that because that's a sign that someone is crossing your boundaries. And I think if you kind of have a plan beforehand, that's really going to help you be more prepared to deal with it in the moment. So let's say you know you have, you know, maybe an aunt or someone who's very all up in your business. So I think if you have something already pre-rehearsed to say, you're going to go into it feeling much more confident. And so, like you're saying, you don't want to hurt their feelings. This is your family, and more than likely they have good intentions. So remind yourself that first, that this is probably all coming from a good place. You know, if they're giving you advice, or, you know, asking questions about your life, it's usually coming from a good place with a good intention. And so hopefully thinking about it in that way will decrease some of your annoyance or anger, right? So we just have to get comfortable with having those uncomfortable conversations. And, you know, I think remembering that you're actually saving the relationship in the long run, because if you continue to allow someone to cross your boundaries, you're just going to get more and more upset, and you might start to resent that person. You might get to the point to where you just avoid them altogether, or, you know, you explode. So to avoid that, you know, you want to calmly just talk with them and say, you know, this is, let's say in the example of the aunt, you know, oh, I'd rather not talk about that, or, you know, change the subject. So you can kind of do it subtly, or you can be really direct. But I think it's all about tone, and the way you word things, you know, is huge.
I totally agree. And I also feel like that could be applicable to another situation, whereas, you know, you have a newborn, and I'm sure you have dealt with this, and you just have like family and friends just like throwing so much advice at you. And right. You just need to remember that the intention is good, and yes, you're saving the relationship. And I mean, like everything, like you're saying, like you need to plan your response and get uncomfortable so you can, you know, get comfortable.
Exactly. And I try to, you know, you try to strive to be assertive. If you're passive, you're going to feel resentful. If you're aggressive, that's where you start to, you know, have conflict and relationships break down. So if you're able to just be assertive and voice your opinion, I think usually people can respect that. And sometimes, though, sometimes they won't, right? It's good because you're pushing back. You're putting limits. So they might push back in response. And you kind of just have to stand your ground. And that's difficult, you know, especially for people who are people pleasers or who don't like conflict. And especially because it's family.
100%. I feel like the holidays especially are just so tough because you have Thanksgiving and then you have Christmas Eve or Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate. And then you have New Year's and it's just like nonstop family time, which can be wonderful. But like I said, it can also be super stressful.
Right. And I think, too, for the question about, you know, maybe people giving you too much advice, unwanted advice with a new baby. You know, you can also say, oh, well, thank you for the input. I'm going to talk to my doctor. Or, you know, my husband and I are going a different route, but I appreciate your advice. So I think there's always a nice way to spin it.
Definitely a good point. I like that. So my other question for you is for people who can't afford therapy, what are some, you know, formal counseling, things like that, maybe their insurance doesn't cover it. What are some good tips that you have for them for, you know, just dealing with, I guess, anxiety and self-esteem in general?
Mm-hmm. So that's another great thing about online therapy. Is it's not as expensive as traditional counseling in person. They offer different payment plans, and they try to make it more affordable. So that's one route. Another option is if you work for a company that offers employee, EAP for employees, that is free counseling. So if you work for a company that offers that, look into it. That's an option. And finally, you know, you might be able to get some treatment on a sliding scale fee according to your income at certain counseling agencies. So you really just want to do some research and call the office and see if they are willing to work with you. And I think that would be probably the best route to go, you know. And then a final option is there's a lot of great life coaches out there, which it's not therapy essentially, but you know, if you're not able to afford therapy, I think that would be another good option, you know, to find someone who maybe has expertise in the issue that you're, you know, needing to work on. So yeah, it just takes a little extra research, but there are options out there.
I love those options. Now, what are some of your favorite go-to resources, whether it be like a blog or podcast or books that you have found to be helpful for your clients?
Oh, actually, one that my client just was raving about, she had so much success with, was the popular You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. I think I said her last name right. Have you heard of that book?
I have. I've read, no, I didn't read it. I listened to it on audio. I was like, before I was hit my third trimester, during my second trimester, I was still running. And every time I went for a run, I just listened to a little bit more of it. And I found it like very motivating and it kept me, you know, kept me going. And that's a really good one.
Yeah. So that was... Side note, good for you for running pregnant. But the book has a chapter that talks about getting in touch with your subconscious thoughts that are holding you back. It's a powerful chapter. And this specific client, I mean, she really took that to heart. And I've just seen so many breakthroughs with her. And it's true, you know. We all have these ingrained beliefs in us that have just built up since we were children. You know, we take in and observe and all these messages and beliefs, and they're still with us when we're an adult. And whether they're serving us or not, we're still telling ourselves those stories. on replay. And so when you actually take a step back and are able to bring them to the surface, that's a great time to begin to be self-aware and ask yourself, you know, is this serving me? Is this holding me back? And that's a powerful moment, because that's when you can start to make the change and rewrite those stories and beliefs that you've been telling yourself over the years. You know, even though they're maybe not even logical, but for some reason you have them in your mind of, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to be successful enough. I could never do that. You know, just all these negative things that are just very disempowering. So her book really, I think, and like you said, it's a fun, motivating read. So I think she explains the process in a way that's very just easy to understand. And so that's that one I would definitely recommend. There's another book that I'm currently reading that I'm just like devouring. It's so good. It's called The Clarity Cleanse. And it talks about the connection between your mind and body, and how much your emotional health impacts your physical health, how it manifests into disease, and how stress can, you know, turn into illnesses. So it's a really good book that talks about how to, kind of the same message as Jen's, just a little, just in a different way, about getting in touch with your, really just dealing with your emotional issues. So that's another great one.
I've never heard of that one. I'm definitely going to look into that one.
Yeah, definitely recommend it.
So where can everybody find you on social media and your website? Pimp yourself out, girlfriend.
Thank you. Yes, you can find me on Instagram at AskErica. And I also have a blog. So if anybody has any questions, or just they're in need of some advice, a different perspective, I'm happy to help. My blog is ask-erica.com. And yeah, I can't wait to hear from you.
And of course, I have one last question for you. And that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Yes. My favorite is, I love a strawberry basil. It's so good. Very refreshing. I love it.
Oh, that sounds delicious. I'm so jealous you guys have like so many breweries out there in California.
Oh, yes.
So well, health conscious.
You can stock up.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again.
Thanks, Erica. I always love talking with you. Thank you so much.